The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. Gospel of the Lord. If I gave you an assignment to head over to Fenway and the Fenway Park and fill it up with people, I said you have anything at your disposal, anything you need, material, monies, whatever it is, that I just want you to fill up that park, ballpark, with as many people as you can get in there, what kind of thing might you use? If you asked me, I said, you have anything at your disposal, I'd say probably the one thing that would automatically get people flowing in there is if you were handing away money, right? If you told everybody, hey, come to Fenway Park and you'll get $1,000, I bet you wouldn't even need $1,000. I bet you could say probably $20. Come and get $20, that you'd have that ballpark filled probably as quickly as people could walk through the doors. But if another part of your task was to get them to stay there as long as possible, how long do you think it would be before people decided to leave, if that's all you were doing was handing out $20 bills or $100 bills or $1,000? After they received it, I think you probably see a lot of people just say, okay, I got my money, no reason for me to stay here, I'm going to go out and spend it. And they walk out and leave. Jesus today in the gospel talks to Peter and Simon and Andrew, Peter and Andrew, about making them fishers of men. The thing about fishing is you need a good lure. And so I was thinking, you know, well, if Jesus really wanted to attract a lot of people, all he had to do was make a bunch of money. You know, he catches that fish, right, with the coin in his mouth. So send Peter out there to catch a bunch of fish and pop those gold coins out, start handing them out. He's going to have more people around him than probably anybody could imagine at the time, if you're handing out money. But again, how long would those people have stuck around him? I don't think very long. He wasn't just looking for people. He was looking for disciples. That's who he wanted to attract. That's who he wants to come to him. You think about this just for as a personal question. All of us in here are disciples of Christ, I would think. Otherwise, I'm not sure why you're here. What did he use to attract you? What did God use to catch you, to draw you in, to be a disciple of his? The apostles, I think, have a great response to that. In the letter to the Ephesians, they talk about preaching Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. If you want to know what kind of lure, you know, what God was using, what Jesus was using to attract disciples, truth be told, it was Christ crucified. It was himself crucified. This, of course, is all unfolding at the end, at the moment. But that's his lure. When you think about it, though, you know, on the surface, it doesn't make sense, because Christ crucified, the very first thing I think of, the thing that's right in front of our face, is suffering. I had a Jewish friend who walked into a Catholic chapel with me, and he was talking about the crucifix. And when he looked at it, for him, he mentioned that it was jarring because you're looking up and you see this person who has been tortured, is being tortured to death on this cross, on this rudimentary execution device. That's what he saw when he looked at that. And it kind of struck me because I've been looking at crucifixes all my life. And what I saw there was so familiar to me, the kind of that the suffering part of it was almost kind of went over the head. But he stopped me and I realized, you know what? That really is the first thing that's there, is Christ crucified. It's that suffering. And interestingly enough, that's part of the lure. That's part of what Jesus uses to draw us in. Because if you look at the people that he ministered to, the people that were drawn to him, they were people with big hearts of love who could look out and see the suffering of others and want to help them, want to love them. But he could also see those people that were being drawn to him as those who were suffering and the desire to help alleviate their suffering themselves. You know, like all of us hurt at different times. All of us are suffering at different times. The interesting thing about suffering is it's a humbling experience because often we're not able to do much about it. And we need the help of others to kind of bring us out of it, to help us through it. We need that love that other people give us in those moments to make it through the suffering. That's Christ crucified. The other piece of this, though, is as I was reflecting and thinking about this, I recalled that, you know, there are a lot of people that were walking the world at the time of Christ who were suffering that would have desired to be healed of that suffering that weren't. And I think today, you know, that there are moments in my life, I'm sure there's moments in your life, maybe right now, where there's suffering that you're experiencing. You go to God and you say, Lord, I'm here. I'm suffering. I want to receive your love. I want to be healed. And that healing doesn't seem like it's occurring. And then we're wondering, well, how do I fit into this? It's a tough question. I don't think I really have the answers for it all. But this did strike me, is that we're either called to love or to be loved, right? That's the relationship God asks us to enter into. Let me love you and let me allow you to love others. And when we're personally suffering, sometimes we can think that that's just a moment for us to be loved. You know, it's like, okay, let me be loved. But the reality is that maybe we're in that moment and God is suffering and saying, this is an invitation for you to allow others to enter into being with you, to let them love fill their hearts so that it can pour out into you, to be shared with you. Think about that cross. Jesus suffered through every single moment of it for us and with us. Not so that he could just get through this moment and say, okay, here you go, let me give you something. But it's, no, I want you to give me something in my moment of suffering. I want you to give me you. I want you to give me your love. I want to share that gift, that opportunity with you. Preaching Christ crucified. Our hearts are made for love. You know, I mean, if you've been coming here these Sundays in my masses, I keep saying that. You know, we're made for love, to give love, to receive love. Suffering is certainly a part of that, where our hearts are drawn to help and love others. I don't want to end on that note, though, because Christ crucified is not just about his suffering. Christ crucified is the whole story. Right? It's his suffering, it's his death and resurrection. And so it's not just about walking through this life and experience suffering, it's about experiencing the joy of Easter. It's about experiencing those moments of peace, of comfort, of happiness that God brings into our lives as well. You know, that we get the whole thing all wrapped up into one. We get our the suffering of Christ, we get his death, but we get his resurrection. It's all a part of it. And so it's not about being stoic, I guess, and walking through life and going, things are tough. You know, that's just the way it is, and you just gotta grit your teeth and bear it and just keep trudging along. No, it's also about joy. Spending time with the people you love, laughing, having a meal together, doing all the things that Jesus did. Circle back then. We all have our own personal experience and journey with Christ. And again, what I would say is, you know, just a nice moment might be in prayer again to look into your own life and say, and ask yourself, how is it that God attracted me? You know, what kind of bait did he use? What kind of lure did he use when he threw it out there and was fishing for disciples? And I saw that and I answered the call.